Navrindra Kijai, Namacharya Shilahari Das Thakur Kijai. Prem Shigaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaura Gopinath Shaima Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jaya Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jaya Mathura Dhamma Ki Jaya Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jaya Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jaya Ganga Maya Jamuna Devi Ki Jaya Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya Tulsi Maharani Ki Jaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Gaura Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Sri Mante Bhakti Vedanta Swami Mati Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deva. Gauravani Pacharani Vasesis and Navadi Paskachari Satani Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam. Shri Guru Vaishnavam Chashi Rupam Sagvajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Stam Sadiva Sadvoitam Sadvadutam Parishana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lavitashi Vishakam Vitam Stam Antanapa Chivishta Vivasini Avatam Titanam Pavaneva Vaishnavam Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
July 11th, 2016, in Zagreb, Croatia. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10. Chapter 9, Mother Yasoda Binds Lord Krishna, Text 4. Tamastanya kama asajya.
Tamastanya kama asajya.
Maiknantin janani hari.
Maiknantin janani hari.
Grihitva dari mantanam.
Grihitva dari mantanam.
Naishadat priti mabahan.
Naishadat priti mabahan.
Tam, unto Mother Yasoda, Stanya Kamaha, Krishna, who was desiring to drink her breast milk, Asadhya, appearing before her, Matnatin, while she was churning butter, Jananim, to the mother, Harihi, Krishna, Krihitva, catching, Dari Mantanam, the churning rod, Nashedat, forbade, Pritim Abahan,
creating a situation of love and affection.
Translation. While Mother Yasoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her, and in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. Purport. Krishna was sleeping within the room, and as soon as he got up, he became hungry and went to his mother. Wanting to stop her from churning and drink the milk of her breasts, he stopped her from moving the churning rod. Tamstanya kama asajya. Maiknatim Jananim Hari Grihitva Dari Mantanam Nyase Jyat Pritim Avahan. While Mother Yasoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her, and in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. So, Priti Avaham. Priti means love and affection. So Krishna is acting in this way in order to create more of a mood of love and affection between himself and his mother. And this is what everybody, every living entity, even those in lower species of life, this is what everyone desires. Everyone desires there to be love and affection, and for that love and affection to be increasing. Yes, isn't it?
Yes.
None of us want to be empty. of love. Just one of my grandchildren found these abandoned kittens. The mother had died, and I think the mother got hit by a car. Anyway, the mother had died, and the little baby kittens were crying, and so he took care of them. And he was saying, "It's so wonderful taking care of some other living entity." And I said, "Yes, it's a fact. We all want to love someone. We all want to be loved, and we all want to give love, and we want that exchange of love to always be increasing." So this is what Krishna, this is how Krishna enjoys. This is Krishna's idea of pleasure. And Krishna doesn't really enjoy through sense gratification the way we think of pleasure. We think, you know, eating nice food and having beautiful clothing. I mean, Krishna likes these things also, but they're just means for him of increasing love between himself and his devotees. So what's happening here? Krishna has just woken up, and as Prabhupada says in the purport, and the acharyas explain that because none of Krishna's friends were with him in this particular situation, we can understand he had just woken up. So this is very early in the morning, and also the gopis would churn early in the morning. Why do you think they would churn early in the morning? Okay, so that's definitely one reason, because then your children aren't there to bother you. So anyone who's been around children know that the parents try to do things while the children are sleeping. Yes. So imagine you tried to do things when there's... I remember when my first child was born, the doctor who delivered him said, "Whenever the baby sleeps, you sleep." So, okay, that's good in the beginning, but after a little while, if you want to do your laundry, you want to do your ironing, you want to clean the floor, you want to cook, so you try to do that when the child is sleeping. So that's one reason they try to churn before the children wake up. Why else do you think? Churning does what? What we were describing yesterday, I suppose, whenever you read yesterday, text 3, that Mother Yasoda was perspiring. But churning is hard work. You know, today we just buy the butter from a shop. We just get in the car. You know, our work is getting to the car and driving to the shop. And maybe we're working to earn the money to buy the butter by sitting in an office. And then we're not getting any exercise, so we have to go to the gym to exercise. But it used to be that people, just to have live their daily life, would exercise. You know, when you wanted to wash your clothes, you exercising. You're not just putting them in the machine and pressing a button. You know, when you wanted butter, then you had to churn the butter. When you wanted milk, you had to take the cows to the pasture and you had to milk the cow. So just to live your daily life, just to take care of your normal bodily necessities, one had to get exercise. So exercise is often best done early in the morning, because then it is it's not so hot. Right? Just like I took a walk in the woods this morning, I thought I'd go out and take my exercise before it gets too hot. So she's working while it's still cool and while her child is sleeping. So Krishna's just woken up from sleeping. And in order to increase his mother's love and affection, so obviously he couldn't talk very well at this point. He couldn't say, "I want some milk. I want you to feed me." So what he did was he grabbed the rod for churning, so that it wouldn't move. And the acharyas say that Mother Yasoda appreciated his intelligence, that he was communicating in this way. So he was very, he was showing what he wanted without language. And he's also increasing her affection, because what does he want? He wants her bodily milk. He wants, what does she have to offer? What does it mean to be a mother? What does a mother have to offer? The mother is offering that she gives her body as the home to develop the child in her womb, and she gives the child the milk, the food from her own body. That's quite a sacrifice. You know, that's quite a sacrifice. So we would consider it a sacrifice to let somebody live in our room, right? To let someone live, to have someone be a guest in our house, and provide them with all of their meals, to earn the money to provide their meals. So universally, mother is respected because she does those two things, even if she doesn't do anything else, even if the mother only carries the child in her womb and someone else feeds the baby. So just for that act, the mother is always very respected in all human societies. So what is Krishna wanting? He's wanting her to give that which she has to offer, the best thing that she has to offer. And he wants her to give something that is particularly motherly. Right? Any devotee can give Krishna flowers, any devotee can give, but it's particularly motherly that she's giving her own milk. So this is how Krishna is increasing the love in these two ways. I'm sure in many, many other ways, but in these two ways here, that he's showing how clever he is, and especially parents really enjoy seeing their children as being clever. It's one of the, it's something that particularly increases parental love when you see your child doing something that's intelligent, something that's clever, something that's creative. Right? I mean, the baby could crawl. A baby could crawl into the lap and just touch the mother's breast. This way, I want to know. But he did a different way. He's stopping her. Stop what you're doing. And so that is increasing her affection. And also increasing her affection because he's saying, please give me what you have especially to offer that is particularly in the motherly mood. So in this way, he's making her very happy. He's giving her what she wants. This is how we show love for someone. We give them what they want. So what do people want? They want to be able to express their individual talents, their individual offerings. That's what everybody wants. Everybody wants to be able to offer something to someone they love that's particularly special for them. You know, someone, well, I make a great pizza. Let me make pizza for you. You know, or I'm really good at sewing. Let me sew something for your deities. Or I'm really good at driving. Let me drive you. Right, when we were just at the camp, this one devotee runs a taxi service, so he was offering to drive us. And he was very happy to offer what he was expert at. So this, we get great happiness by being able to offer something in which we are expert, something that is special for us and our relationship with someone. And we also get very happy in seeing the expertise of someone we love. So Krishna wants for all of us to increase all of our transcendental pleasure. This is not only for Mother Yasoda. Of course, it's very nice in the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada was talking about the Raganuga sadhakas who are in Vatsalya prema, particularly in maternal prema, and how that they should meditate on Mother Yasoda churning the butter. And meditate on all of her features, not exactly to become Mother Yasoda, because only Mother Yasoda is Mother Yasoda, but to follow Mother Yasoda, to be one of the other. There's so many of the other older gopis. Of course, they're not older, like, materially. In other words, they're in their 20s or 30s, or 20s probably. They're not just teenagers. So the motherly gopis. So there's so many motherly gopis who are also taking care of Krishna, or taking care of Balaram, or taking care of both Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna wants to increase the pleasure of all these devotees. It's not that Krishna only wants to increase the pleasure of Yasoda and all the other devotees are finished, but all the devotees. So all of the motherly devotees or the fatherly devotees and all of the, in all of the different relationships, even the plants, even the insects. We were out at the camp. And one time I was sitting at the edge of the forest and chanting, and there were, you could see all the insects flying in the trees. And I was meditating how even in the spiritual world there's insects. At least there's bees. I'm sure there's also other insects, butterflies. Hopefully no mosquitoes. Yeah. Well, even the bees there, it's interesting because in a lot of the Goswami's literature, they talk about how sometimes Radharani is afraid of the bees, that they might sting. And so in her fear of the bees, she embraces Krishna, and so Krishna is very happy. You know, that the bee has brought him together with Radharani. But I can't imagine that in the spiritual world the bees are stinging and people get swellings and pain. There's no pain. But Krishna wants to give pleasure even to the insects, even to the dust particles, which are all conscious. Krishna wants to increase the pleasure of all of the devotees, and it includes even us. It's not only that Krishna wants to increase the pleasure of the residents of Vrindavan, so it's not even just Mother Yasoda, and it's not even just all the residents of Vrindavan, but it's even us here. And you can say, well, why should Krishna care about us? We are very insignificant. And it's a fact, we are very insignificant. This is one universe among many, many. It's said there are as many universes like little seeds of mustard. You've seen mustard seed? How small it is. Am I talking slowly enough so you can understand, everybody? It's okay. If there's some word I say you don't understand, please ask me. Or if I'm going too fast, yes? Okay. So like you have these little tiny, very small seeds. Some seeds are very big. A coconut, you know, that's a seed also. That's the biggest seed is a coconut. And some seeds are very, very tiny. The tulsi seeds are also, if you've seen tulsi seeds, very tiny. So each universe is like a tiny seed in a bag of seeds. And this is a very small universe. Our Brahma only has 4 heads. Some of the universes, he has 10 heads, even 10,000 heads. That would mean they have 10,000 directions. I cannot even imagine. So this is a very small universe. And in this universe, this is the lowest, Prabhupada says, of the middle planets. Just like, you know, people, they're poor and they've become middle class. So if they just become middle class, they just go over the border to become middle class. So a very insignificant planet. And it's Kali Yuga on this planet. The demigods don't even come here anymore. Because there's no yagya happening. Of course, they sometimes come and take birth here to be in Mahaprabhu's movement. But generally, they're not coming. So it's not a very important place from a material perspective. And we can say, our heart is so dirty, you know, we're so contaminated. Practically nothing we do is actually service. You know, we're praying to Krishna and it's mixed with so many material things. But even for us, Krishna wants to increase our transcendental pleasure because he loves us. Just like the family, they may still love somebody who's in prison. Sometimes not. Sometimes in the material world, when someone goes to prison, the family forgets about them. But sometimes you see someone goes to prison even for a very bad crime, and the family is still visiting them. Yes, sometimes it happens. So Krishna, he still loves us even though we are rebellious towards him, and he wants to increase our pleasure. So how does he do it? In the same way. The same 2 ways that I mentioned here. Again, I'm sure there are many, many more ways. I'm sure if we could be there in this lila, we would see hundreds and hundreds of ways in which Krishna was increasing Mother Yasoda's transcendental pleasure. But in this verse, it's focusing on 2, so we'll focus on these 2. That Krishna wants us to appreciate his cleverness. That we can appreciate his cleverness. So this morning I was reading in the 10th canto, chapter 85, where Vasudeva is praying to Krishna, glorifying Krishna, and then Devaki asks for the return of her dead sons. And the benediction at the end of that chapter was that anyone who recites this chapter or hears the chapter will be able to fix their mind on Krishna and will attain to the spiritual world. So I thought, well, this is a very nice benediction. So I went to read the chapter a second time. I didn't finish it a second time. But Vasudeva was talking about how Krishna is perceived in the world. It was very interesting. How Krishna is perceived, and he said, you are water and you are the taste of water. You are our intelligence, you are our ability, all of these things. So we can appreciate Krishna's cleverness in this world. It's not only that we appreciate Krishna's cleverness in Goloka, but we also appreciate Krishna's cleverness in this world. You know, when I was taking my walk, there were so many people growing fruits. I was thinking we should have more fruit trees on this property here. But so many people were growing fruits. And there was plums and cherries and grapes. And how clever is Krishna? I mean, how amazing is this? That in a little seed, you know, which looks like nothing. As we were saying, some seeds are so small, they look practically like dust. You know, and in this seed, there is the potential for a tree that produces fruits. I can see. No scientist has done anything like that. There's no scientist that's produced a grain of rice that You plant it and it becomes a rice plant and produces more rice. How amazing. So Krishna, this, when we see the world, anything, you know, even our breath of air, how we are breathing, and that there's a symbiotic relationship between us and the plants, that our waste product is their food and their waste product is our food in terms of the gases that we're breathing. That's amazing. Who can create something like this? And just how we're our breathing, it's nourishing all of the cells in our body and creating the functions of our liver and gallbladder and lungs and stomach and brain and skin. And we don't even know how it's happening. We're just kind of walking around in this body, you know, and doing things and eating and talking. It's all happening without our conscious awareness and without our conscious organizing it. How is this possible? I mean, this temple, you cannot maintain this temple without a lot of conscious organization. A lot more than people think if when they come to the temple, what it requires. And this body is so much more complicated than the temple. I mean, you can't even, it's not even in the same category at all. Just one cell of our body is far more complicated than the temple. When to speak of one of the organs of our body or our whole body working together. I mean, all I have, I don't even have to think about it. I just put my hand in the air. I don't have to think, hand, go in the air, finger, move. You know, I just know how to do it, but I don't know how I know how to do it. I don't know how it's, and even the doctors don't know how it's working. They don't really know. So many of the medicines, the miracle medicines, they don't know why they work. Many times they discover it by accident. You know, they're giving someone a medicine for one thing, and then so many people say, oh, by taking this medicine, this has also happened. You know that? And then they start selling it for the second thing. How is it working? Well, we don't know. So Krishna is showing us his cleverness in so many ways. I mean, just millions and millions and millions of ways. At every minute of our day. Every minute of our day. How our fingernails are growing. I mean, just that is amazing. You know, if you damage your fingernail, a new nail will grow underneath it. Have you ever seen that? Yeah. So this is meant to increase our love for Krishna. Krishna could have taken the rebellious living entities and just left us in his body of Mahavishnu forever. And why has he created this wondrous, variegated world? Yes, to fulfill our material desires, that's a fact. But also to increase our love. Just like we feel affection at seeing the cleverness of another jiva that we love. Yes, everybody feels like that. If you love your family and you see, you know, your father has won an award, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter. When you see some family member, some friend of yours, and they've done something wonderful and clever, then you feel happy. So this is, we are meant to feel happy. This is why, probably one of the reasons, why Prabhupada says that to the devotee, everything is happily situated. Because everything, oh, this reminds us of Krishna. And the other way Krishna wants to increase our love is he would like to accept the most wonderful things that we have to offer. Krishna particularly wants to accept, wants us to give him that which we are the most expert at, that which is really unique to ourselves. Just like here, he wants to accept Mother Yasoda's breast milk. So what is it we have to offer to Krishna? Because when we give something that is especially our gift, that we are particularly good at, all of us, Prabhupada says, everyone has some extraordinary talent. He says, everyone has some extraordinary talent, and to use that extraordinary talent in the service of Krishna means successful life. But again, we can understand this in terms of love. If I love somebody, I especially want to give them what I'm good at. Isn't this correct? And we're all good at many, many things. We all have many, many talents. But we have some talents that we're particularly good at, that we've probably worked very hard, maybe more than this life. Some of us are very good at organizing things. Some of us are very good at beautifying things. Some of us are very good at singing. I mean, we all have a particular talent that we're very good at. So Krishna wants to increase our love by accepting this from us. Not because he needs it. Krishna is much more talented at anything that we're talented in, and he can easily do it himself. He can do it himself effortlessly as I pick up my hand, even more so. So it's not that Krishna requires us to organize a temple, or Krishna requires us to take care of the plants, or requires us to dress him, or requires us to preach. Krishna can do all of those things without our help. But just to increase our love, each of us has, we have something. We're aching to give to somebody. We are desiring for someone else to appreciate it. We're talking about being appreciated. We're just, when is somebody going to appreciate what I'm good at? When is someone going to notice the parts of me that are really wonderful? Even if you have bodily beauty, Prabhupada would say, you know, sometimes Prabhupada would meet people and he'd say, oh, you are very beautiful, use this for Krishna. Whatever we have that we want to be appreciated. So in these two ways, by noticing Krishna's cleverness and by offering what we have. So this is Krishna trying to increase our pleasure. Krishna is trying to increase our pleasure by having us appreciate his cleverness and being able to offer him and be appreciated for the special things we have to give. So love is both ways. So how can we increase Krishna's pleasure? So far we've talked about Krishna's increasing Yasoda's pleasure and Krishna increasing our transcendence. How can I increase Krishna's pleasure? Well, the same way. Krishna wants to marvel at how intelligent and clever we are. He is fascinated with us. In one sense, although we all have a different transcendental relationship with Krishna, some of us may be Krishna's parents or Krishna's lovers, etc. In another sense, we are all Krishna's children. Mamai Vamso Jiva Lokeji Bhutasanatha. Aham bija padalpita. In another sense, we are all Krishna's children. And so Krishna is fascinated by the little clever things that we do. Just like the parent is fascinated by the little clever things that the child does. So to use our intelligence in Krishna's service makes him very happy. And by the way, this is one reason why Krishna doesn't just give us everything without effort. You know, I really like the story with Bhima and Jarasandha. It's one of my favorite stories. When Uddhava had suggested to Krishna that Jarasandha be killed by this trick of Bhima, Arjuna, and Krishna dressing as brahmanas, and then Narada came and told Krishna about the Rajasuya Yajna, and the decision was that both would be accomplished at the same time. Krishna went to Indraprastha for Maharaj Yudhisthira's Rajasuya Yajna, and Jarasandha had to be conquered, otherwise the Rajasuya Yajna couldn't take place. So my point is that the decision about how to kill Jarasandha was made very much with Krishna's involvement. This morning I was hearing Prabhupada lecture about how there has to be daiva, there has to be the sanction of God for anything to be successful. You can be intelligent, you can have money, you can work hard and so forth, but if you don't have the sanction of the Lord, it will not be successful. So certainly this had the sanction of Krishna because Krishna was personally involved in the decision to kill Jarasandha and the decision of how to kill Jarasandha. You all know this story? If you don't know this story, you need to read Krishna. Bhima, Arjuna, and Krishna dressed up as brahmanas and they went to Jarasandha's place. And they went at the time when he would give charity to brahmanas and said, we are brahmanas, we want charity. And Jarasandha said, yes, he said, actually, you don't look like brahmanas to me. You're not acting like brahmanas, but fine, I will give you whatever you want. So they said, well, really, we don't want food, we don't want money. What we want is a one-to-one fight. Instead of fighting with armies one-to-one, And Jarasandha said, okay. He said, I'll not fight with Krishna because last time we fought he ran away. I'll not fight with Arjuna because he's younger and not as strong. I'll fight with Bhima, he's equal. The concept was one should only have contests with equals. That's a whole other story which we will not discuss. So it was very interesting that although it was Krishna's plan and Krishna was standing there, Bhima was not able to defeat Jarasandha. Krishna didn't just say, okay, there you go, successful. We find the same with the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna is Arjuna's chariot, and it's not that Arjuna and Yudhisthira won the war in 2 minutes. Okay, I'm your chariot driver. Okay, there you go, it's won. Everybody has surrendered. You know, the Kurus just said, oh, Krishna's there, we surrender. But Arjuna had to use his intelligence, and he had to use his abilities. And so did Bhima. I mean, after 28 days, Bhima said to Krishna, Na shaktoham jarasandham nirjetam yadi madhava. My shakti isn't enough. And then apyayam swenitejasa. Krishna filled Bhima with his own shakti. And he broke the blade of grass. So why does Krishna do this? Why? Because not only we're talking that we want to offer Krishna what we're good at, and Krishna likes to appreciate what we're good at. So in order to do that, we have to do what we're good at. There has to be some opportunity. If Krishna does everything for us, how is there any opportunity? You follow? Does that make sense to everybody? Just like we have to be careful in our ISKCON movement that the new devotees also got an opportunity. It shouldn't be only the senior devotees lead kirtan, only the senior devotees give class, only the senior devotees do worship. That's not Krishna's mood. Otherwise, Krishna would just do everything himself. So he gives us an opportunity to offer what we're good at, and he gives himself an opportunity to enjoy seeing us offer what we're good at. To see our cleverness and to relish what we have to offer. Those two things. To appreciate our cleverness, our intelligence. Yes, he gave it to us, but he still wants to appreciate it. I might give you some money, but I still will appreciate how you spend it. I may be your teacher and teach you so many things, but I'm still going to appreciate what you do with that knowledge. When we were at the Rath Yatra in Novi Sad, Veer Krishna Swami was showing me a video of one of his disciples, who was also one of my Gurukul students, Gauramani Devi Dasi, and how she's making videos, Facebook Live videos. And he said she gets sometimes 20,000 viewers. And he was showing me, she was doing one live at that moment, and he was showing me that she had 12,000 viewers. And as people are viewing, they're pressing like and love, and those likes and loves are like little animations going across the screen. So it was this constant stream of little hearts from her viewers going across her screen. And Maharaj said to me, he said, when I do Facebook Live, I only get a few hundred views. And here's my disciple getting 12,000 views. So I felt so happy. I taught her public speaking. She was my student, do you understand? She was my student from when she was in nursery school, like 18 months old. And there were sometimes she was other places, but then, you know, until she was in secondary school, high school, until she was like 17, 18. So I taught her public speaking, and here she's using it. I'm seeing that she's using it in her own way, and she's preaching to 12,000 people, 20,000 people about Krishna consciousness. So I became so happy at seeing her cleverness, how she's using her intelligence in such a clever way, and I became so happy also at her particular talents. So Krishna wants to see these two things in us. How clever we are, how we're using our intelligence, our creativity in his service to give. And then he's also relishing the gifts that we are giving him. So this is really the whole, this is bhakti in a nutshell, one could say. This is the process of bhakti. That we and Krishna are trying to increase one another's pleasure. That's really what's happening. And we're trying to increase one another's pleasure through loving relationships. And of course, when we're doing this with Krishna, this should extend to all the devotees, and therefore we have the Dandi, Pranti, Vinanti. We have the six loving exchanges with the devotees should be an overflowing of the fact that we are having these relationships with Krishna. So this is not just about Mother Yasoda. This is a guide, you know, those who have already awakened in Vatsalya, meditate specifically on this with Mother Yasoda. But for all of us, if we've awakened to another mood, or if we haven't yet awakened to any particular mood, except generally Mother Krishna's service, so we can still get this idea, what is this reciprocation of love? And again, this verse in these two ways, of appreciating Krishna's cleverness, getting, and that Krishna is asking for what we have to offer, and Krishna is appreciating our cleverness, and Krishna is appreciating the best that we have to offer. By the way, tomorrow's verse is one of my favorites, this particular purport in 10.9.5, so I'm hoping that Krishna will allow me to speak for him tomorrow. Very much about how Krishna gives us intelligence for organization. It's a verse and purport very much about organization and prioritization. So any questions or comments on today's verse? Yes, sir.
Sometimes we
are
distracted by the situation, but we do lots of to stay engaged in Krishna's service. And at the same time, we see the need that we also engage others in Krishna's service and appreciate their service.
Yes.
But there's a certain amount of time and energy that we have, and then we feel a little bit like torn apart because I want to engage myself, at the same time I know we need to engage others, and sometimes it's not easy to reconcile. So what is it that you would recommend?
This would be very much discussed tomorrow with this idea of prioritizing. But I was just thinking how Ayendra Prabhu, when he first started doing the 24-hour kirtan, there were hardly any other devotees doing the kirtan. So sometimes he was singing literally 12 or 13 hours a day. Now, if you're singing 12 or 13 hours a day, it's going to have an effect on your body, and that's what happened. And he started damaging his voice. And when he damaged his voice, he was forced to engage others, and he wrote about that. He said that he saw it as Krishna's mercy because it absolutely forced him to say others have to help. So, of course, it depends. I met you making me think of when we were working with the Learn to Read books for the children. So at first I was managing it all myself. You know, first I was, there was nothing to manage. It was only me, you know, so I was only managing myself. And after a while, then it was managing the other reviewers, we were including other teachers who were reviewing everything, and then it was managing the artists, and then it was managing, I had another full-time writer for the activity book, so it was managing her and managing the artist. And that was, plus then Krishna threw me back out on the road and I was traveling and preaching again while I was managing all that, so I was barely doing it. And then, so I was engaging other people, but still I was doing all the management. And then when we decided to put the sound into the books, very quickly I found I couldn't manage. It was too much. So I was forced to, again, include somebody else to do it. And it was interesting, the person that we engaged in managing the written translations, because first it had to be translated in writing and then spoken. At that time, she was invalid. She was basically bedridden. She couldn't get out of bed and she had constant pain. So she was probably doing no service at all. But she could do this on a computer and even in her bed. And she said doing that service transformed her life, that she started feeling, oh, I'm actually useful. And it was interesting. By thinking that she was useful, she started getting better. It was quite fascinating. And then we had to manage the recordings. So for that, again, we had to engage other people. So I see that Krishna, when he wants you to engage other people, he gives you something that you cannot, you just simply cannot manage. I was also interested, this is a funny story. So I was in London, and where there's a huge pool of volunteers, thousands and thousands of volunteers with Bhaktivinoda Man. And thankfully the temple authorities let me pull into that pool. And so we were engaging the head of the volunteers, Chaitanya Jivan Prabhu, was pulling all the volunteers. And we got a devotee who's a kind of a friend of Krishna, who's a professional project manager. So he was met. But even that wasn't enough. It was, I mean, altogether we had to manage about 200 people, and it was just too much even for one person part-time. So right at that time, I got an email from just some anonymous person. It just said Servant 108, and said, I don't know what project you're doing, but whatever it is, I want to give you a donation. So I thought, okay. So like 2 days later, one of the brahmacharis just hands me an envelope with 1,200 British pounds. I said, who is this from? He said, I cannot say. It's some anonymous person. So I'm looking at this money and thinking, what am I supposed to do with this money? What's it for? I couldn't understand what it was for. So about 2 days later, I met with one devotee and I said, look, this project is just getting too big. I don't know what to do. It was somebody who was involved with the project. Even the managers we had was not enough. So he was quiet for a long time, and he said, well, I could manage it. He said, but my wife will not allow me to work for free anymore. He said, she's tired that she has to be the one maintaining the whole family. She says, I have to bring in some money. I said, well, how much do you need if you're going to manage this? And you know what he said. He said, well, I need 1,200 pounds. And I said, well, I happen to have that money in my pocket. And so I see that when Krishna wants us to involve others, he makes it quite clear. You know, we'll talk about this some more tomorrow. That it just becomes too much for you. You know, you can't do it. You don't have the time to focus on your japa and your reading and your life. It isn't working anymore. And also Krishna will send the people. He'll send the money. He'll send the people. That's at least my experience. Over and over and over again. Prabhupada talks about this. He talks about if you have good sadhana, Krishna will just... He said management will follow like a shadow. And Krishna will just send the right people at the right time and the money to pay them. And you don't really have to bother your head about this. That's what I've experienced over and over and over and over and over again. You know, okay, here's somebody to do this. And here's the money to take care of it. And here's the materials everything. You know, and if he doesn't send, then you can do it yourself. Then go ahead and do it yourself. Okay. Is that all right? But we should, of course, if you're a leader and a manager in general, then part of what you're doing yourself is engaging other people. So if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're any time when you're in charge of other people, that is part of your job. To find other people's talents and engage them accordingly. Even if it's something you could do yourself, that is your job. Is that okay?
Yeah. I have one more question about that.
Yeah, it's already 8:37. Is that okay?
I think it also fits in this category for tomorrow.
So then tomorrow, because tomorrow is a lot about prioritizing an organization. I think one of the sweetest purports of that time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mother Yasoda ki jai. Baby Krishna ki jai.